Now, what role will Europe play in any ceasefire deal for Ukraine? Is there any way to stop Moscow and Washington dividing up Ukraine between them? Well, the Taoiseach is among 31 leaders in Paris today for a European summit on Ukraine called by French President Emmanuel. President Zelensky has already had dinner with Mr. Macron last night. And of course, the news breaking overnight of Donald Trump's tariffs, latest 25% tariff on cars and car parts into the United States of America. And he specifically spoke about pharma too. And we're expecting more tariffs to be announced next week. Wednesday, our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. I'll come on to that Ukraine summit in a moment, Tony, but this latest on the Trump tariffs, what's Europe's reaction so far?
Yes, Anya, it's been fairly swift and fairly comprehensive. We had a statement from Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, almost before even President Trump had finished making that announcement. Now, she said that she deeply regretted the decision, that this was bad for business and worse for consumers, both in the US and the European Union. And the European Commission is now expected to examine what kind of retaliation would be possible. There's been reaction from the UK, Rachel Reeves, the finance minister, saying that they would hope to try and avoid anything that escalated the situation, but there will be pressure there for some kind of retaliatory measures. The Germany's economy minister, Robert Habeck, has said that the tariffs would hit global supply chains and make US cars more expensive. But the EU had to be clear that they will not back down to US pressure, although, again, qualified by the hope that there could be a negotiated solution to this. But overall, this will be a devastating blow to the German car industry in particular, which has been suffering from lower sales domestically, but also competition from cheaper Chinese imports. So EU car makers in general are very anxious and nervous about this, but they're trying to make the point that this will hurt the US manufacturing sector as well.
But we know that Donald Trump loves tariffs, and we also know from the signal chats that The Atlantic released what his team really think of Europe. J.D. Vance hates bailing Europe out. Pete Hegseth loathes European freeloading and thinks they're pathetic. So it doesn't sound as if a negotiated solution is going to get very far with those attitudes, does it?
It doesn't. Now, Maroš Šefčovič, the EU's trade commissioner, we remember him from the Brexit days. He was in Washington this week for talks with senior administration officials, as well as Bjorn Seibert, who's the chief of staff of Ursula von der Leyen. My impression is that those talks didn't really get very far, that the US administration was absolutely adamant that it would keep the pressure on in terms of tariffs. So those car tariffs announced last night, also on car parts as well, but also the reciprocal and other tariffs, which we're expecting to hear about next week.
So let's talk about this summit in Paris today on Ukraine and obviously the Saudi peace process going on between Moscow and Washington. Donald Trump, we all remember, in the White House said to President Zelensky, "You have no cards to play." Are sanctions, EU sanctions, a card the EU can play to have a seat at the table here?
Well, the European Union sanctions regime, we've had 16 different sanctions packages, as they're called, since the Russian war began. And there was a statement yesterday by the European Commission that sanctions against Russia would be maintained until the unconditional withdrawal of all Russian troops from the territory of Ukraine. So that was a fairly hardline statement from the Commission, I think signalling to Washington that whatever about President Trump's rapprochement with Vladimir Putin and some of the blandishments that are being talked about there, perhaps relaxing US sanctions against Russia, the Europeans would keep their sanctions in place. This is in particular in relation to a Russian aspiration that sanctions against a Russian banking and the agriculture sector would be lifted as part of the deal on a ceasefire over the Black Sea. Now, the Europeans are saying absolutely not. There will be no relaxation of sanctions until the Russian troops leave completely. Now, Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, has acknowledged that the European Union will have to be at the table at some point because of the sanctions leverage that Europe still maintains against Russia.
And what else can these 31 leaders, this coalition of the willing, put together in terms of any Ukraine peace? And what role do neutrals like Ireland play in all of that?
Well, the whole debate around a coalition of the willing has shifted now in recent days. You'll remember that Sir Keir Starmer and Emmanuel Macron have been working very closely with talk in recent weeks about an international force, a coalition of the willing that would be there on the ground in Ukraine as part of any ceasefire agreement to deter any Russian attacks or re-attacks against Ukraine. Now, that would be a very ambitious venture that would probably require NATO's command and control systems. But there have been pushbacks now against this in a number of countries for political but also for military reasons. Russia is obviously dead against any European troops in Ukraine. The US administration has gone off the idea as well. But what we could be looking at is a long-term and evolving security presence in Ukraine. Emmanuel Macron last night was adamant that, you know, there would be some kind of European reassurance force on the ground in Ukraine, you know, guarding strategic bases and important towns and cities, but not essentially at the front line, acting as a deterrent and engaging with Russian troops if they did attack. The emphasis would be on giving Ukraine itself the best opportunity to defend itself through training, through military and weapons support. And on the question of neutrals, yes, the UN senior figure for peacekeeping operations has been talking in the last day that it's very hypothetical, but there have been more inquiries about what a UN-mandated blue helmet type monitoring mission might, how that might operate in Ukraine. Again, no specific request from either Europe or the United States, but this is the kind of territory that people are now looking at. And certainly Micheál Martin, the Taoiseach, has said that Ireland could be part of any UN-mandated peace or ceasefire monitoring mission, but that would not be a deterrence mission. And I think, to be fair to the Ukrainians, they still think some kind of deterrence mission would be essential in Ukraine because they clearly believe that Russia would have the wherewithal to attack again.
Tony Connolly, Europe editor, thank you.